Since January, I've started to take guitar lessons, and I'm trying to get to play the guitar. It is amazing how much more respect, a value I add to the musicians in our church. So thank you very much for you guys. It's not just, kom ons doen net gou wat ons wil nie. It actually takes a lot. So we're very thankful. We're thankful for you guys. And no, it's actually not that easy. But thank you. We really appreciate you guys bringing your gift to the house of the Lord and blessing us each and every week. We enjoyed time of worship. No, that was just it's amazing. The Lord is good. Last week we drove off after the service, and I really enjoyed last week a lot. I was so blessed just by God's faithfulness and where He took us spiritually last week. And I was just so in awe. And you're like, oh man, I really hope next week will be the same, and the week thereafter, and the week thereafter. And yet God never does the same thing, and I love that. And still it's so sweet just to taste Him this morning in the way in which He wanted to speak to us this morning. And He's most surely spoke to my heart. Thank you, Stephen, just for your obedience. He really spoke to my heart this morning. Excuse me. We've been, as I said, it's a long weekend. Tomorrow's a public holiday, so we're in here for the long haul. We've got a really good sermon. It's really long. Kom Johan, wil jy graag stand voor toe gaan? Of kan ek lang preek? Now, actually, I think I might have one of the shorter ones here today. Hopefully, let's see what the Lord does. But yeah, I believe it's just a word. I'll tell you now from where it was born. I believe it was born from the Lord, but how I came upon it. Because I always trust the Lord for fresh manna. You hardly take something out of the cupboard or out of the filing drawer and try to bring it to life. You just trust the Lord for a living word for the day. And I hope it speaks to our hearts. I think He's going to pray for us and I'll share the word. Lord, thank you for just the grace. It's almost what I see in nature this morning is what I sense in my spirit. It's almost like it's cloudy, but it's a good cloud. It's as if we're covered. There's a chillness to the atmosphere, and we thank you for that. We thank you just for a chillness and for the grace of your protection and your heart towards your children. Lord, as with Israel, where they had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, we thank you just for the cloud of your presence of every heart this morning. And as I said, thank you that the ears will hear and the eyes will see individually this morning what you are saying. There's no condemnation. Thank you, Father. Thank you that only your Spirit will speak. But also, if any hearts are hard, thank you that by your grace, you will just come and just speak your living truth and your seeds into hearts to change us, to mature us, to make us more as Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just, amen. We've been sharing on being anchored this last couple of months, and God has surely been anchoring us, just in a couple of basic truths of the word, and you need to work through this with the Lord, and make sure that you're truly anchored to the things that is biblically the right things to be anchored to, that are the things that truly are the things that makes us safe. And that's why Johan shared this morning, it's so important to have a love for the Word and to know what God's Word is, the one that will be eternal. Gold and silver will not go with us, but the words of God, the things that He's done in your life, and His ordinances, His decrees, and what He has said over you and your life and your family will stay forever. And so it's good just to do the math, to take stock, and to hear and heed to the voice of the Lord. Last week, just quickly, we chatted about true identity again, not mine, but yours. In other words, it's good to know that I'm a son of God and who I am in Christ, but I said it's also, in love, so important that I know who Johan is in Christ, that I know who Franco is in Christ, because Matthew 22 calls us and says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's really important to me to know who I am in the Lord. Because in this world, you're constantly getting pounded about who you are. What are you building on? Are you standing? Are you building on a true foundation? Are you built on the rock? But I can't be selfish in just working out my own identity with the Lord and the Word and the Spirit. I need to vouch for, in love, my brother Peter Ben as well, to know who he's called to be. Yes, as a son. Yes, that he is seated in Christ. But also what God has called him for. What is his calling? What is his makeup? And it's something that really stirs my heart. Because 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 17, we said to each other, you can go to the next slide, please. Well, in fact, two slides from there. Thank you, Emmy. Scripture says the following. You can go to the next one. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. In other words, we do not regard, we don't see each other according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I don't regard Hildegard according to the flesh, but I need to see her through the Spirit's eyes, through God's eyes, because that's the way love sees her. What he's done in her life to this day, but also the potential and the calling on her life for the decades to come, for her and her family. And that just brings hope and faith, doesn't it? Who's done that this week, by the way? Who's looked at a couple of people through the eyes of the Spirit, not the flesh? Who's struggled with it? I've also struggled with it. To look to another with eyes of faith and hope, as God will see them, is not always that easy, especially in a culture where sometimes we can be quite critical of one another. We can judge very quickly. We need to take heed. We need to be careful. That's not love. The Lord will help us through His Spirit. So that's what we chatted about last week. Now this week, maybe quickly share this week's message. You know, you've heard it said that learn from your mistakes, right? Who of you have learned from your mistakes? We all do. Yeah, me too. I learn from my mistakes. But the grace in my life is that not only I learn from my mistakes, you guys do as well. Because wherever I screw up, fall down, I need to seek the Lord, and He gives me a revelation, and accordingly, that's what I can bring to the table. That is something He gives me authority in by His grace and His love, and then that's what I can share. So you do not only learn from your mistakes, you also learn from the mistakes from the Retief. Okay, that doesn't look that exciting to you guys, but I think it's quite good. And so we learn from our mistakes. Sunday last week, I said we had such an awesome time in the service. It was really a good week. We said to one another, man, it was as if there was such divine order in that previous week. Things just worked out. It was really productive, and it was really a blessed week. And so the Sunday, we went to bed, and it was great. The next morning, I woke up but at 4:30, and Frida woke me up, and things just did not go well. For the next couple of hours, in fact, things went quite soft. So you're on this mountaintop experience, Mian mentioned this morning at intercession. You're on this mountaintop, and all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, you feel like you're down in the valley. You make a couple of character mistakes. Not life-threatening, not the end of the world, but still not what you would expect or what you thought the Monday morning would be. Now, I've had that especially with serving the Lord and in ministry. Mondays are sometimes just spiritually a tough day, but you're also tired, so you need to check yourself. And so there was just a character mistake or six made on my behalf, and I went back to the Lord, and I just realized. And that's where this is birthed from, is I just realized it's all grace. I didn't go think, oh, well, Sunday was so great, I'm great. No, that thought never crossed my mind. But still, you're in such a good space that you almost for a moment don't realize your great need. Until the moment you slip up and you're like, ah, why did I fall for that one again? And out of that character flaw, out of that lack of character in a moment, God just comes in graciously, just picks you up. And that's a place where this message is born this morning, because I believe it's an anchor truth that we as believers need to hold on to. Be anchored in God's goodness, abide in the vine for His fruit. And you'll see what that means just now. I was saved by God's grace, obviously out of, it felt like the pit of hell. Life was really tough and rough when He saved me. And so it was a massive shift from where I was to where He took me, and I knew it was absolutely by grace. Who had salvation stories like that? Amen. A couple of some of us God took over a number of years. You actually didn't do that much wrong, or maybe in your own esteem or own eyes. But God then came graciously and He saved you. But we all were saved by what? Absolute grace of the Lord. Through faith in Christ. You know the word. Not by any of your own works, it says. It's by the grace of God. And so we get saved, but then we hopefully grow in maturity. We do the things of the Lord. We do the things that whatever the fellowship that you in does, we get into the word, we get to know Him, we have times with Him, and so you grow over 5, 10, 15, 20, even more years that you walk the road with the Lord. And I just realize it doesn't become any more or any less grace than it was in that moment when you accepted Christ. And for me, it's just good to maybe just check on that this anchored truth, never mind if you feed 1,000 or you raise 30 people from the dead, or you minister in Afghanistan, in Asia, and in Africa. Never mind if you see the fire of the Lord fall on its people. Never mind if you, our beloved brother, Mr. Angus Buchan, Brother Buchan, that's got 1 million people, or any of the other evangelists up in Africa that gathers 1 million plus people together. Never mind if you've got a massive ministry or a church. We need to be careful, and we need to always remember and anchor it in the truth that it is by the grace of the Lord that we can do what we do. By the grace of the Lord. Now 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Amen. You are the righteousness of God. That is what happens. You are the righteousness of God. And that's massive, because that's why we could have, by the grace of the Lord, why we could have this amazing moment of worship this morning. And it's not as if when I start preaching, God leaves the building. I do hope so. If it is, then you need to come chat to me. But in worship, we could enter His presence with boldness. Not because we're here. Not because I actually go to church on a long weekend. Did you know that? And you guys can say, and I'm not even getting paid for it. That's very spiritual. Well done. No, not because you come to church on a long weekend. No. Or even drive from Malmesbury to do so, which is quite cool. But it's none of those things. You are the righteousness in Christ Jesus before what He has done. Be anchored in that truth. And even if you get saved now, or you've been saved for 50 years, that does not change. That just messes with our brains sometimes, because we're in a world where you need to perform. You need to perform. If you don't perform, you don't get paid. If you don't get paid, you don't eat. And so the performance-based community that we may be growing up in or living in, the culture that we live in, is very much based on our performance. It's rarely that there's a lot of grace out there given to you as a person. And unfortunately, that creeps into our church culture. It creeps into our homes. It even creeps in, if we don't watch ourselves by the grace of the Lord, it creeps in the way we disciple our children. The way in which we disciple one another. It can so easily creep in. So just ask the Lord this morning, just speak to me. Just show me where it's been creeping in. Like me on Sunday, on top of the world, thanking God. This is such an amazing week. But moments later, not even blinking, just having a very bad moment, realizing that, where did I miss it? Did I maybe yesterday thought that this week was because of anything I've done? Or was it still based in the full work and the gracious work and the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus for me? Or was it maybe a little bit of something I could have done? Because we might tell one another, very Christian-like, no, it's not me, it's only the Lord, all glory to God. And we say these things, we WhatsApp them, we SMS them. But are we actually believing that? Even if you faithfully lived with the Lord for 30 years, do you actually still believe it is by grace? And not, it's a lot of grace for the first 26 years, but the last 4 years, I've been pretty good. I've been pretty good. I've not had that bad lapses that the thief tells us about. No. I've been pretty. And so it is subtly a pride, a self-righteousness can come and creep in. Yeah, but you know, I've been to Jerusalem 3 times. I've been at all of Angus's meetings, and I go to church 4 times a month. 4 times a month, that's a miracle. No. It is by the grace of God. And it's just good to check if we're always just tucked into that truth. Because self-righteousness can creep back in. If you give somebody bread, or you bless them, or you preach at them, or you lead them through the Lord by the grace of God, or you pack chairs in church, or you hear every single Sunday, or whatever you do, just heed, just be careful that self-righteousness can not creep back in. Because what happens the moment self-righteousness creeps in? It's just stuff that I've seen, and I've seen it in my own life, and I'm just saying, Lord, help me. Because the moment self-righteousness creeps in, I've seen the fruit of that is unbiblical judgment. You're critical. Because I'm now doing it right. It does not. Or vice versa. That has happened once. That was a joke. That was a joke. You laughed. That's good. Unbiblical judgment is sometimes the fruit of self-righteousness. Which means that the foundation of my salvation, the foundation of actually my identity again, the foundation of what I do as a Christian is not based 100% solely upon the perfect price paid by my King and Messiah, by Jesus Christ. It is a little bit of me in there. And again, I say it this morning, there's no condemnation. It's just to check the balances and say, Lord, oops, it might be. I'm frowning upon Pete Pompey's. I'm driving past Sunny, and I'm actually judging in the heart because I'm on my way to church, or I'm on my way to this, or I've given out 6 Bibles, or whatever the case may be. And it's just our culture. It's just the things of our culture just creeping under our skin, and we need to be careful. Own works, own ability, own faith, own goodness, own church, own ministry. Own giving. Own. Be careful. But I guess you get the picture. The word, however, I think, amongst others, says the following 2 things. We're using this as a basis before we go to the main part of today's message. I said to you, be careful, believers. Say, believers, be careful. Okay, cool. Everybody's still awake. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Bam. Put that in your pipe. You don't have a pipe. But you're not self-righteous. But anyway, you get the picture. Do not think you stand lest you fall. This is such a good challenge to all of us. That even if you walk out of the most amazing meeting just now, or whatever you've done at work, or at school, or wherever you've loved on somebody on the street, or led them to the Lord, just remember, therefore let no one think that he stands firm, immune to temptation, being confident and self-righteous. Take care that he does not fall into sin or condemnation. It's just the thing to say, hey, we're not fearful, but we're just going to check. Now and again, we're just going to check. Lord, I just open up my heart to you. We're in ministry, and we're planning to stay in ministry for the rest of our lives. We don't have this backup plan. So, maybe in 5 or 10 years I can become a lawyer again. I don't have a backup plan like that. But you do look around and you see men, great men of God. There's a bit of irony in that. Great men of God, women of God, that sometimes they have a bad character moment, or a couple of them for a couple of years in a row, and then unfortunately they do fall. And I don't fear that, but I don't want to walk that road. I just want to complete the race that he set before me. But I need to complete it with him. And so today I can tell you, hey guys, look into my life. Speak into my life. With the grace and the love of God, please. Not with the way in which man judges, but if God judges, please do speak. I might speak back, but please speak. Well, Edna laughs. So lach lekker. Anyway. Therefore, let anyone think he stands, take heed lest he fall. One thing I believe we're building on today is, take heed, believers. Let's not judge the neighbor. The grace that I had to receive was much more, I guess, than all of you guys. And let's just remind ourselves that, not to stay sin conscious, not to stay in the past, but just to be level-headed. Because where did the fall come from? It came from pride. The original fall came from pride. And self-righteousness is based on pride.
And so where would the enemy always try? He can't conjure up a new idea. He just uses the old one in different schemes. So what will he hold to you? He'll just hold up something that is seemingly good, but it's not God. Seemingly good, but it's actually not humility. The second thing is, maybe before I ask that, Peter Ben comes from Malmesbury, so he'll know that in the countryside, but the Afrikaans people is really loves to say, yes, but that's a goeie Christen. It's like a goeie, ek verstaan nie, it's like a goeie Christen mense. Hy's so goeie Christen. Dis groot Christen nou, nie mini nie, nie kleintjies nie, groot is. En daai huis is daar net groot Christene. In other words, they're not big Christians, but they're really great Christians. They're a great Christian family. They're a good family. Who's ever said that, heard that, or been part of that? All of us. It's part of the culture again. So here we come and we have a human standard, maybe a human way in which we judge other people, or other Christians, big or small. Is he a rechte Christen? Is he a Christen, but is he a rechte Christen? Or whatever the case may be. And so this thing creeps into our culture, and because of our culture, it can creep into our Christian culture and our way of thinking. I've never heard, or I can't remember that I've ever heard Willem say a rude word. I've not seen that. But I can now judge and say, oh, goeie Christen. And he would like to maybe hear that even, but I can't judge him in that one thing. Even though I judge his fruit and I love his heart and I know he's got a soft heart, only God knows what's cooking. Not me. Not even the pastor. Believe it or not. That's a tongue-in-cheek joke. Only God is good. Goodness only comes from the Lord. Mark 10:17-18. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, like Jesus, he doesn't answer the question. He just goes for the heart. He says, why do you call me good? This is Jesus speaking, by the way, to any of you guys thinking, am I good, am I not good? This is Jesus speaking. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good but one, God. Boom. No one is good but God. You can go read through the Psalms. I know it's maybe part of the, not part of the New Covenant, but even there are many times how the psalmist will just write about the goodness of man, which there's not. Bottom line is, no man is good. That just fries our brains sometimes. It's difficult to understand. It's not something that I made up, and please don't put me on the stake for it. It's what the Word of God says, and we believe this to be the absolute truth. But why he says that, I believe, is that he's got perfect judgment. We don't. Yes, this is yet a nice neighbor. Yes, Willem is a great guy. But I can't stand in that place to play judgment. Are we called, by the way, within in church community, can we judge one another in the actions of our deeds? Yes, indeed we can. But it's in relationship and it's in love. And you have a coffee and you say, brother, I see this fruit. Let's just chat about it. So it's done in love. So please don't think we're going to, it's a free fall. We can do what we want up. I think God calls us into accountability. But it's just to notice where our true sources and our strength comes from. So the second thing is, only God is good. Be careful to, in our own esteem, decide other people are good or not good. It's maybe not our place to do that. Only God is good. And as I said, this has been born out of my own brokenness. I think I've read up a bit about grace and obviously looked at the Word concerning grace, and there's guys that are really big on the grace theology, sometimes even a bit ill-balanced, unfortunately. But that's a discussion for another day. But I've seen God's grace made manifest in my life in my times of my most brokenness, where I felt so down and out. Even after being a believer, moments of bad character, just realizing none of what he's done is actually deserved. In any event, he was actually just grace. When he just comes and picks me up, when I'm on the phone with an accountability partner, I say to Edna, man, I'm sorry, please just pray to me. What is God saying? He's just so gracious. And in that moment, poof, revelation comes. In that moment, I just realize the amount of grace that he's got for all of us. And that just speaks to my heart. I hope it does to yours. What are we being anchored to this morning, in other words? God is good. We sang about His goodness. It was just brilliant. God is good. Good fruit comes from Him and not from me. If this is bugging you that I'm saying it, say, Lord, help me. And it's by grace. It's not by my own works. Yes, there's a place for obedience. Yes, there's a growth in maturity. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. But the origin of that is God, His goodness, His grace. And I said, yeah, it's through relationship, relationship, relationship. Because religion, dead religion, will like to call you into works, performance, like the Word does, will does. And then your paycheck is not that. Your paycheck would be affirmation from a God. Or your paycheck would be to get into heaven from a God. Or maybe to receive tongues from a God. Or maybe to receive spiritual gifts from a God. And so we need to be careful that we don't get our covenants mixed up. We need to be careful not to get our cultures mixed up. Do we have a gospel culture based on the truth of the gospel? Or do we have one that is infiltrated by the ways of an Egyptian Babylon system? You hear my heart. Lord, please speak to us. Please speak to us. Which brings me back to the main point. We won't be too long. Good fruit is God's fruit. And it's sometimes a bit difficult for us. But the good fruit that you see in your life is God's fruit. Good fruit is God's fruit. Good fruit is God's fruit. You know the scripture. We're going to look at it quite slowly. And trust that maybe there's a different nugget for each person in here. But thank you, Lord. We will not go out here without our nugget, without the substance of your Spirit. John 15, 1 to 17. We're going to read through it once and then we're going to break it down. Let's read and let's trust the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine keeper, vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes. And He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Who's ever looked at the scripture, and to whose spirit does it speak? To who is it a bit of a challenge? Okay, to me and Dominique, great. Let's chat. I believe it's quite challenging because there's so much wealth in there. There's so much challenge, but there's also so much grace in there. And let's use this moment with the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to say, Lord, here's my life. This can speak to so many people, so many Christians, so many believers. Let's look at it again, slowly but surely. You can go back to verse 1. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vineyard keeper. Now I highlighted here, I am the true vine. It's quite interesting that Jesus there says that I am the true vine. In other words, if He says that I am the true vine, there can be other vines, right? In life, what other vines can you be part of? What else can be the vine that you're part of? Well, Johan mentioned quite a big one this morning. He said, gold and silver and the word of God. Which one are you going to take? Which is eternal and which is temporary? We can be sometimes plugged into the vine of mammon, the vine of finance, the false security of that, the false system of that. I am the true vine. What else can be a vine, guys? Self. Yes. Branch connected to itself. Yes. Religion. Do you understand when we say religion, dead religion can be a false vine. I want to say this, and I say that, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will just translate it perfectly, but your denomination can be a false vine if it's not your primary vine. You understand what I'm saying? Your family.
The Isa.
We don't have much. We're not the other big families. Let me not mention surnames. But you can be this family. The Fanamervis. How many Fanamervis are there? Yeah? Okay, you can be the Fanamervis. And then that can be a false vine. What else can be a false vine? A carpenter. Yeah. Because a carpenter. Ons praat hier rugby net, né? Ons het al oor gepraat. But there can be many other, especially in the religious sense of the word, there can be so many other false vines. But Christ is unfortunately not there. There can be a denomination, a church denomination, a Christian denomination where Christ is not the true vine. We need to be so careful. We need not be scared, but we need to discern. We need to grow maturity and we need to test. And we need to say, Lord, we want to be plugged into the true vine. Because I can do so many things. You can be the pastor, you can try to do everything, a jack of all trades. And be plugged in so much into this local congregation that you're not truly connected to the vine. And my father is the vineyard keeper. How beautiful is it that they work together? Again, it's just a picture of us called to work with him. Not for him, not for acceptance, not for identity, not for salvation. But as they work together, we work together. This morning, I'm not working for a salary. God forbid. I'm not working for a tap on the back or a smile from any of you guys, even though it's a blessing. Hear my heart. But I'm partnering with my Father. I'm partnering with the vineyard keeper. I'm partnering with the vine. The faithful Father, we work together. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Boom. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Now, you can go very deep and you can search the scriptures, but I just believe that we see it in our culture. Unfortunately, many people say that I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. Yet nothing in their life holds the truth of that. Nothing. No fruit whatsoever to say that I'm a Christian. You can take somebody out of Sunningdale in a 3-bedroom, double garage, 2-motor vehicle house, put them here as a non-believer, and you can take another one here in Sunningdale out of the same environment, same status, and you put them next to it as a believer, and they look exactly the same. They sound exactly the same. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, hey, let's chat about this. Christian, non-Christian, mirror image. I'm not knocking them. It's hypothetical, so please don't jump into that. I'm not judging, condemning. I'm just saying, can we hear, can we see the gospel? No, we can't. Let's move on. It's awfully silent in here. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Remember, God is good. God's fruit is good. And it's by grace. That's why I laid a gracious foundation. So I can say Christian, but not produce fruit. And for me, that is also not be obedient. Not how many guys did you get saved this week? No. Were you obedient to the voice of the vine? Is my lifestyle any different from those people that despise and hate Christ? If not, if I spend the same, if I talk the same, if I do the same stuff, then either they're actually Christian or I'm not. You get the picture. Let's move on. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit. So we're actually in a bit of a catch-22 situation. If you don't produce fruit, cheers. En liefde. If you do, he prunes. The word of God says, Christ said, in this life you will suffer, but take heart, I've overcome. We can have heaven on earth. But will there be pressure? Yes. Even if you're a Christian, even if you're on fire, fruit-bearing machine of a Christian by the grace of God, there's pressure because he'll prune you. Why? He'll make you this amazing conduit of His Spirit and His love. And He'll ever increase you. And that increase might not be the way we see it. But He'll increase you in the way He deems fit. The Father helps us to be the best channels of the Spirit, as we said. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Remain in me and I in you. I said here, keep finding your source in me. Keep trusting me. Receive my life, not your own or another source's. Stay in relationship with me. This is an anchor point. Say anchor point. Sorry guys, we're just making sure we're going to get through this one before the rest of the long weekend. This is an anchor point. Remain in Christ. He came to save me by His grace and the blood and a covenant out of a pigsty as a believer 14, 15 years back. But to this day, I need that amount of grace. I need Him as much. I need His love as much as I needed Him that day way back in, what was it, 2004 somewhere. Remain in me. Never mind what you've done. Never mind what He has done through your life. Remain in Him. Just quickly, practically, how do I remain in Him? I remain in His Word. Exactly as my man said, have a love for Him. I remain here amongst fellow believers that are hopefully on fire, that hopefully has a burning passion and has the Spirit with them and are walking in obedience, and there is fruit that can be a blessing and a testimony to my life. What else? How can I remain in Christ? Keep seeking Him, absolutely, daily. Keep praying. Do you remain in Him if you keep on trying to do the right thing? No. Yes, obedience, absolutely. In this week, I chatted to my accountability partner. I said, oh man, this thing, I'm really trusting the Lord to sort this out. I really want to get that right. And he says he never has a moment to try to get something right with the Lord. He just realized that if he doesn't get it right, he's not spending enough time with the Lord. So he just spends more time with God, and that fruit just automatically comes. Again, culture will tell you, out of your flesh, get it right. Yes, I just need to be a better Christian. No! You need to just to get back in the vine. The more time I spend with the vine, the better the fruit. Not the more I push, the more I condemn myself, the more, what's that other thing? Spiritually prideful I get. No, the more I spend with the vine, the more the fruit will come. Remain in me and I in you. It was meant to be a relationship. Keep finding your source with Him. Let's move on. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, that's the thing we mentioned, religion, dead religion, is many a times where they hold onto the form but deny the power of God, deny Christ's power and the Spirit's power, is you do all the right stuff, you tick all the boxes, you've been doing that for years, but actually it's bearing no real fruit. It's actually bearing no real fruit. There's no such thing in the kingdom, listen up, there's no such thing in the kingdom as faking it until you make it. It's either God's fruit or it's not. It's either in the Spirit or it's in the flesh. And again, I'm not saying I get it right, guys. We're just going to Scripture. God is teaching us. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I might think I can, but I can't. If I don't remain in the vine, if I don't stay surrendered, if I don't acknowledge and keep on acknowledging my need for Christ and for Him to do it through me, I can't bear real fruit. I can fake real fruit, but you'll taste that. It's only that long where you can try just to mimic stuff, and then people realize, but this is plastic. We had real apples last week, but now we've got plastic ones. They look brilliant. You did a good job with the painting. Well done, Ratif. But we can't be fed with plastic apples. Like, kind of didn't have much time to prepare. And never mind preparation, I never got to have a quiet time. I didn't get into the Word this week. I never got plucked in. But just take the apples and just put it in your dashboard in the car. It looks good. It's fine. No, we need to get to a place where it's real. Stay stuck in. Verse 5, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produce much fruit. That just takes the pressure off our shoulders. Ja, maar ek wil bietjie meer betrokke raak. Ek wil bietjie meer doen vir die Here.
Who's heard that? I've heard it so much.
Bietjie meer doen vir die Here. Nou, moenie bietjie meer doen vir die Here nie. Spandeer net bietjie meer tyd met die Here. It's quite easy. Moenie doen nie. Wees. En het jy vrug.
Kind of like that.
So many times we hear that. I'm the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me, and I am him, will produce much fruit. It's just inevitable. Because you can do nothing without me. Guys, there's no gray areas. There's no gray areas. You can do nothing without me. That's what I realized on Monday morning. I can do nothing that is good. I can do a lot that is not good. Without Christ, unfortunately, as man, with us as humans, without Christ, you can do a lot of stuff. But I can do nothing without Christ. And so in that moment, if there was any pride and self-righteousness, it just gets exposed. And God says, ach, kom ons gooi dit weg. It's next bad. In that moment, you just realize, I can do absolutely nothing without him. And then you realize, well, then whatever I do, is him. And that's a beautiful place. I said, yeah, there's no gray areas. It's either religion or it's real. It's either fake or it's real. It's either plastic apples or it's real apples. There's not a combination half plastic, half. It's either one or the other. John 6:29, it's not on there. This is the work of God, that you believe in the Son who he has sent. Guys, we're in a culture where you need to work and perform. And I'm not against that. Hear my heart. It's good to labor and to receive what you labored for. But let's not drag that heart into our Christian walk. Let's not bring that into the Christian culture, the church culture that God wants to purify. Because they ask Jesus, and he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in me. That's your work. Am I saying you need to do nothing and just believe? No, we're going to get to that just now. But primarily, your main work every morning is, Christ, where are you? What are you saying? I'm looking for the way, the truth, and the life. That is the foundation of your day. Vine, where are you? Am I plugged in? Am I plugged into the full truth of your gospel? Am I plugged into your spirit? Am I plugged into your love? Or am I just going to go out there and perform my very most best and hope it works? No. The work of God is this, that you believe in the Son whom you have sent. We're going to verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, in other words, if he does not remain in me, I said here, if he does not look at me as his source, if he does not surrender his life to me, if he does not see that he needs me as a life-giving source anymore, he's thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't need to say too much about that. Verse 7, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you want. We like that first part, and it will be done for you. We like the second part as well. Ask, and whatever you ask will be done for you. If you're so grafted in the vine that everything the vine is and has, he just oozes through your life constantly, it's inevitable you're going to ask the right things. If, like Johan said, silver and gold, or the word of God, the truth, that which is eternal, that which is temporary, if the eternal vine and his life and his source and his truth just oozes through your veins, it's inevitable that you're going to ask the right questions and ask the right things in prayer, and it will be done for you. And then verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. What stood out for me is my Father is glorified by this. Let's quickly listen again. In the culture of performance and how I look on Facebook and if you're a big guy in a ministry, how big this is and how big that is and how many books you've written, just look at the end, how Jesus ends this off. He says, come on guys, remain in me. You're a branch, I'm the vine. Without me, nothing's going to happen. You need me. But it's a fellowship, it's a working relationship. You're going to produce much fruit and you're going to be pruned. Don't worry about that. We're going to work at this. I'm going to give a lot of fruit through you. And at the end, he ends off and he says, that who can be glorified? My church, my ministry, my pretty face? No. That my Father can be glorified. Guys, if anybody can be glorified or should be glorified through the works and the fruit of God in your life, it is whom? It's the Father. That does not always, for the first time at least, sit lekker with the flesh. Oh, but I've been... No, you guess what? You've seen the fullness of the grace and the love, and perfect love of God, the moment you got saved. And then you receive the Father, but also Lord over your life. And you can now wholeheartedly follow Him, and the fruit will be amazing. The gifts will be amazing. But remember this, it stays grace. And it stays Him. And if somebody gets a bit of FaceTime, camera time for it, may it be Him and not you. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Fruit born from the right source, or fruit not born from the right source, is not fruit at all. Fruit born from the right, not from the right source, is not fruit at all. It sounds... It's difficult for us to understand. No, but they do so many good things. They've done so many good things. That, remember, God is thinking eternally, and He does not judge the way we judge. He does not see the way we see. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, should I only have faith? Should I only be plugged in? Can I only have faith, or do I need some works and fruit as well? James, luckily, just... gave us the following scripture that we can chew a bit on. James 2 verse 24. You see that man, believer, is justified by works and not by faith alone. That is, by acts of obedience, a born-again believer reveals his faith. In other words, guys, this is not a call to works or to fruit today at all. If anything, this is a call to remember that it is by grace, that God is good. And guys, we need to be plugged in. If you want to truly bear fruit of the Lord, and good fruit that is lasting, you need to be plugged into the vine as a branch. Not as a vineyard keeper, not as a semi-other junior branch, no. A vine, but as a branch. Kenyoplek type of thing. And out of that, we are called. If we say we are believers, I'm a believer, I'm a branch. It's good. It's good to be a branch. But if you truly have faith, if you truly believe, and if you're truly a branch, it is inevitable that there will be fruit. Are we called, by the way, to judge each other's fruit? Should my calls of obedience and my fruit look exactly the same as Stephen's? No. Let's not do that. But we are called with the grace of God to have that. You see that man, a believer, is justified by works, not by faith alone. If you truly have faith, it will produce something. If you truly have faith in Christ, it cannot produce nothing. Can I say that again? If you truly have faith in Christ and the fullness of the gospel of laying down your life and following Him, being a disciple, if you truly believe that, you cannot but produce the fruit through your life. The Holman says, you see that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I would have liked to see it the other way around. But faith, true, unadulterated, true faith in Christ, produces something. Verse 26 says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So may we not merely say, I'm a Christian on a form or on your Facebook status or whatever the case may be. May by the grace of God, not through our own works, He give us that fruit that we need to bear. And a good one that I love that I always stand on and will stand on is the following scripture. Guys, let's be anchored to this truth. We are called to bear fruit. We are called to bear fruit. We are called to works of faith. But praise God, it is not by your goodness, it's by His goodness. And it is not your fruit per se, it is His. And Ephesians 2:10 just brings it all together. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We may say fruit even. Which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. It just takes the burden off. He's the vineyard keeper, I'm not. He's done all the planning, I didn't. But I can walking in the fruit that He's planned for me means what? Saying, I want to be plugged into the vine. Spirit, lead me and bring forth the fruit through me. And when the fruit comes, I'm like, wow, it's amazing. And then I just don't say religiously, ach ja, alle eer aan die Here, and actually think, oh man, that was actually pretty good. No. Then I realize through the grace of God, all glory to the vineyard keeper. You can go drink coffee in Stanford and go walk through Oom Johan's garden there. Sometimes of the year, it's brilliant. But if the vineyard keeper have not done his planning, there was nothing for me to see. If he didn't faithfully do the things he's done, there's nothing for me to enjoy. Was it that rose bush? Was it that, let me not go into naming plants, but was it that other beautiful flowers or that other beautiful flowers that did anything on their own? No. They were planted and rooted. They were joined in where they needed to be joined in. They were obedient. How plants can be obedient. But the vineyard keeper did the planning. And hence, we see that amazing fruit. We see the amazing, amazing garden. Guys, please don't go out here with a religious lie. Please take, with the Lord, take an honest look at our lives. Say, Lord, You called us for fruit, but it can only happen through You. Have grace on me. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we can walk in them. Let's walk in them. Please stand with me, please. Lord, we thank You this morning just for Your grace upon us. Thank You, Lord, that we got saved by grace, but You keep us saved by grace. Thank You, that was an amazing fruit one day way back for many of us, that You brought us into Your kingdom. But thank You that the fruit thereafter was also by Your grace and Your goodness. Lord, I pray just in standing still with on the word of Your goodness, thank You, Lord, that we never change and we will never say that we have to taste before You're good. Lord, You are good. We just settle that in the Spirit. You are good. Your word says You're good, and You are good. It's not that we first need to test and be the judge of Your goodness, not at all. But You've graced us by giving us the ability to taste that goodness in a very broken world. And we thank You for that. Just with all eyes closed, if you just want to taste for the first time or again just the goodness of God, because you've seen quite the opposite many a times, and you see that unfortunately through His people, His children, His representatives, you've seen quite the opposite. Will you just raise your hand, and we're just going to trust the Lord for healing. Just to, again, taste and know that He's good. Lord, we just thank You for these hands, God, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will just lead these individuals into moments of tasting Your goodness through Scripture, through nature, through an encounter, through whatever the case may be. We just ask relationally that firstly they'll know that they belong, that they are children of God, that they are sons of God, that the love of Christ is poured out into their hearts by the Holy Spirit, but that there will be moments of encounter just to see Your goodness again. Not to judge by the things we see in media, we see in the world, we even see in other Christians' lives whose lives we actually don't know that good, but that we'll have moments where you can taste and know that You're in control, that You love us, and just to taste Your goodness. not because you have to do that, but because I believe you want to do it through your grace, because you're a loving father. Not that we're entitled to it. We're not a brat type of entitled community. We don't come with entitlement. We just say, Lord, I really want to taste that truth of your word more, please. We thank you for that, for these hearts. And then if like with myself, you may be convicted just to be careful of self-righteousness, of starting off in grace, but maybe not keeping in grace, and you just want God to deliver you from that, just raise your hand. It's obviously very bold. But yeah, just saying, God, I don't want to be self-righteous. I want to judge others where I'm not called to speak into lives. Please, Lord, come and just touch my heart. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. And we just thank you, God, that you will come and do a thorough work to take any lies, any pride, any self-righteousness out of our being, realizing that if I'm not plugged into the vine, nothing happens. If I'm plugged in, things happen. And it's not the branch, it is the vine. And the vineyard keeper, it's not me. We just say humbly, Lord, help us. Not only today, not only in this season, not only in this moment, Lord, but for all the time you've given to us. For all the ministry work, for all the life work that you've given to us, for all the amazing fruit that you're going to bear through us. Keep us in this place of ever knowing without being plugged, nothing happens. If plugged in, things will happen. Your fruit, your goodness, not mine. But also not to have a reverse type Yanni Yammer moment as well, Lord, that we'll be bold in knowing that you want to do it and you bring forth your will through our lives. Help us not also to fall into that trap. But thank you, Lord, for these hands, and thank you for healing and restoration. We just confess and you forgive and you make new. Thank you for grace. And then this lastly, the word remain. If you just want to trust that you remain as a branch in the vine, even though you know Christianity within this South African context, you know evangelism, you know even know shofar so well, so you've become so acquainted with the way in which things are happening that you can do it so easily without actually being plugged in, and you feel convicted in this moment, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I never want to run on autopilot, on a religious autopilot. I want to run with you. I want to run plugged in. I don't want to heed to the flesh and the way in which the flesh does this. I want your fruit. And even if it comes in a different container, I want to acknowledge it. I want to see it. Because I want to follow Christ and not the formulas of man about Christ. We just raise your hand and we just pray that we remain. We want to remain. We just want to remain, Lord. Thank you that you, for different people here, it will be different ways, different convictions, different moments. We want to remain in your word. We want to remain in your truth. We want to remain in your spirit. We want to remain in your body where we belong. And we please want to remain in relationship with you. Thank you that you will do that. By your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please grab a coffee. Please say thank you with me for the rain that is coming. And have an awesome public holiday and week. God bless.